Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin in a few moments with verse 16. We're going to walk into some muddy water doctrinally this morning that some people try to avoid and try to ignore. But I want to go into it saying this. Man cannot approve what God disapproves.
Amen.
Can't do it. Man cannot approve what God disapproves. And God does not approve of much that even some religious organizations have approved of. God does not approve of a great deal of that which many religious organizations have approved. I didn't say the church. I said religious organizations. God does not approve of so much that the church approves of. Folks, we are in a crossroads experience spiritually in this nation. It's been building for some time. And as I continue to watch, I'm convinced that most of the church is asleep.
Yes.
At the switch. I'm convinced of that. Most of the church is asleep at the switch. God does not approve of a great deal of what the nation approves of. And it's God's approval or disapproval that really counts. What the nation approves or disapproves really is not all that significant in one sense. It's what God approves. What God disapproves. And there's so much that we have embraced as a nation. There's so much political correctness in the churches. There is so much in the nation that God does not approve of, and we cannot get his approval on it. Now, the word makes that point in this message. Come with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed and not intimidated. Do you allow yourself to be intimidated in the office place? Perhaps in the family? Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I'm not intimidated by those who oppose the gospel. He goes on. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Those who receive and those who believe. And yet most of the church has not grasped this yet. It is the power of God to those who believe, to those who receive. Let me ask you this. How much power do you walk in? How much power do you walk in? So what are you asking me, preacher? I'm asking you, how much of God's power do you walk in? How much of God's power do you utilize to stand against what Satan is bringing against you? Do you fold your tent and give up and give in? Do you compromise? Or do you constantly say to Satan, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
It is written, it is written, it is written. And that's what you've got to do to survive. Folks, we're in a changing world. We're in a world that is changing daily. And I am watching some compromise moves in this nation that do not bid well for the future. I'm telling you right up front. My first message I ever preached as a 17-year-old was, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? And that message still holds true today.
Yes.
Still holds true today. You have to understand this. It has the power, the Word of God, has the power to convert the most hardened, critical sinner in the world. And you got it in your lap. The Word of God has the power. Spirit enabled, Spirit empowered, has the power to convert the most hardened, critical sinner in the world.
Yes.
And most of the church really doesn't believe that. And understand this. There's no end to hardened, critical sinners in the world.
Hello.
There is no end. So we have a ripe field. The fields are ripe unto harvest. Romans 1:17. And by the way, we find the agents of Satan. Listen to me carefully. We find the agents of Satan in every expression of life in the world. They're in the White House. They're in the Senate. They're in the Congress. They're in the pulpits. They're in positions of religious leadership. In religious organizations. Children of Satan. The devil's kids. Occupy many of those positions. And church sleeps on. Church sleeps on. Business as usual. Not understanding that incrementally, bit by bit by bit, the satanic agenda is unfolding. In the nations of the world, the satanic agenda is unfolding. Has been, continues. You've got to understand you're not going to wake up some morning and have somebody in D.C. say, well, guess what, everybody, the Antichrist is here. I'm now in charge. No, it is a slow, inexorably sure move in the spirit realm in nation after nation as the kingdom of darkness gains access and more access to the nations of the world. And the church sleeps on for the most part. Romans 1:17. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is the word that reveals the attributes of God. Once you get into the word of God, you find out what his attributes are. It's the word that reveals his love. His love. And it's hard for us to grasp how he can love some people like us. Much less some other people. But it was his love that loved me. He loved you. He loves the world. God is love. And he loves every single human being in the world of every race, tribe, tongue, and nation.
Amen.
He loves sinners. God is love. But then, in his love, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. You've never said anything that caught God by surprise. You never did anything that caught God by surprise. You never went anywhere that caught God by surprise. God knew before the foundation of the world every word you would ever say. God knew before the foundation of the world every thought you would ever retain. God knew before the foundation of the world every response and every reaction in your life.
Amen.
He still loved you. And still loved you. And what's true of you? You see, the church doesn't believe that. Most of the church does not embrace the doctrine of the omniscience of God.
Right.
If they did, it'd make a difference. It'd make a difference. But then, he's omnipresent. You can't go to where God is not.
Nope.
You cannot go anywhere where God is not. He pervades the universe. He fills the whole universe. So you can't go anywhere where he's not. You have to understand something about him. Then his omnipotence. See, most of the church doesn't believe that. I'm convinced that most of the church really does not believe in the omnipotence of God. They do not believe that he is really all powerful. He can change the leadership of the nation overnight.
That's right.
All he's got to do is suck the breath out of them.
Right.
All he's got to do is say to the heart, that's the last heartbeat. But he's turned all of his work over to the church. He has turned all of his work over to the bride of Christ. Because the church is the bride of Christ, and we, as the bride of Christ, And as the body of Christ on earth today, as we represent Him, we are to maintain and retain the godly standards in the nations of the world. How? Through prayer. Through submission. Through surrendering to Him. Through intercessory prayer. But let's face it, folks. I look at a football stadium. Packed. Packed. I look at a football stadium on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Packed. Filled up, running over. Sunday night, same thing. And I say, I wonder how many church pews are empty. It's going to change, folks. You listen to me. It's going to change. In 2015, when this nation, the highest court in the nation, put its stamp of approval on same-sex unions,
right.
You cannot, as a legislative body, you cannot, as a judicial body, put your stamp of approval on that which God disapproves and escape His notice. He's long-suffering. He's patient. Heavens knows He was long-suffering with me. Many of you can say the same thing. You can say He was long-suffering with me. He was patient with me. He's been long-suffering with this nation. I think back over the years, the erosion of godly standards, the erosion of godly values. And the homosexual community brags about the fact that he came out of the closet. We came out of the closet. But that doesn't mean God approves it.
No.
Just because the Supreme Court of the United States of America approves it doesn't mean that God approves it. He's got the highest court in the world.
Amen.
And He disapproves. He will never put His stamp of approval on transgenderism.
No.
Never. You say, now, preacher, you're not being very politically correct. Thank God.
Amen.
I don't intend to be politically correct.
No.
But I intend to be scripturally correct. And I'm accountable to God for what I preach and what I don't preach. I'm accountable to God for what I teach and what I don't teach. I'm accountable to God for what I stand for and what I stand against, and so are you.
Amen.
If you're a believer priest, if you're a child of God. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, Word of God says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The very hairs. And some of us have fewer hairs now than we had at one time. But He still keeps track. He still knows how many hairs are in the head. There's nothing He doesn't know. He knows your thought life.
Yes, sir.
Listen, it's a battle day by day by day. Satan is constantly trying to inject his thought into your mind. And you've got to day by day, moment by moment, I'll accept it, I won't accept it. I'll accept it, I won't accept it. I reject that, I accept that. You've got to be sensitive to what's going on in the spirit realm. You've got to be sensitive to what's going on in the thought realm. He knows your thought life. He knows all about it. That's why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, don't turn there, I'll read it to you. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How are you doing there? Bringing every thought. It's the Word of God. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It is by bringing every thought, every single thought, thought captive, that we're successful in casting down imaginations.
Amen.
And arguments. But unless we are sensitive to our thought life, is that approvable by God? Is that not approvable by God? that we can't cast down the imaginations that we should be holding on to. That's why this is so important. Those thoughts. Do you realize that every day of the world you're receiving suggestions to the mind from Satan? Every day of the world you are receiving suggestions to the mind by Satan. He wants you to respond and react to that suggestion to your mind. That's why the Word of God says, we tear down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything and everything that to any degree opposes God and His will has to be rejected.
Yep.
Anything that opposes God, His Word, His will has to be rejected. But are we doing that? Are we really analyzing the thought life? That's not acceptable. That's in violation of God's Word. That's in violation of God's will. And sometimes, folks, trust me, I know, some days it's a moment-by-moment-by-moment exercise. You're bombarded with ungodly, unholy thoughts. It may be nothing more than just being critical or judgmental. But it's a thought that Christ does not condone. And we're to control our thought life. We're to take every thought captive, the Word of God tells us. And as I say, sometimes it's a moment-by-moment, day-by-day exercise. All day long, it is a moment-by-moment exercise. And it's also a daily exercise of submission. You get up in the morning saying, the Lord, I submit to your lordship. As not to my will, I submit and surrender to your lordship in my life. I acknowledge your lordship in my life. I submit and I surrender to your lordship in my life today. I want to take every thought captive. I want my every response, my every reaction to be in accordance with your will under your lordship. Do you do that? It's part of getting better to meet the day. Because I promise you, demons are already awake and waiting for you before you even awaken. They're already alert and awake, and they're active. You have to understand, he's either Lord of the life of all, or he's not Lord at all. Christ Jesus has got to be Lord of all. Some days, once again, it's a moment-by-moment, day-by-day battle to control the thought life, to control the reactions, to control the responses. Assistance of the Holy Spirit, shall I speak to this? Shall I not speak to that? Shall I witness here? Shall I not witness there? Shall I say what I'm about to say? Shall I express what I'm about to express? What's the check in the Spirit? I've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, and I've got to heed the checks. I've got to heed the release in the Spirit. The control of the mind. Satan wants to control your mind. Satan wants to control your attitudes. Satan wants to control your reactions to life. No matter what the situation, the circumstance, no matter where you're located, he wants to control your actions and your reactions. Now back to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unforgiveness. Another version says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and ungodliness of men. I think it's important we all understand that God does not ignore sin of any kind. God does not ignore sin of any kind, of any degree. I disagree with the Catholic Church. They classify sins. Some are more important than others. Sin is sin. End of conversation. Sin is sin regardless of what type of sin it is. It is sin. God does not ignore sin of any kind at any level of life. At any level of life. God does not ignore sin. God does not ignore sin in any expression of sin. Any expression of sin. God does not ignore it. Stop and think about what I'm saying. Every single facet of your life, in which you entertain a sinful attitude, a sinful response, a sinful reaction, whatever it may be, does not go unnoticed by God. Sin consciousness, Christ consciousness, all that plays into the mix. And God has his own way of dealing with sin. Now, let me slow down. God has his own way of dealing with sin, and he's going to deal with sin in the life of a believer in many different ways, to different degrees. Hear me carefully. You see, you as a child of God, you came into the kingdom of God and we're wading into some deep theological waters, but I can prove it from the Word of God. You came into the kingdom of God, as I've taught you all these years, but we're going to take it a step further. And you brought a load of sin into the kingdom of God with you. Now, when you were born again, yes, you were made a new creation in that moment. Yes. When you passed from death to life, you were made a new creation. But as a new creation, you brought a ton of sinful baggage with you into the family of God. That is why, once again, we go through the process of sanctification. Amen. And the process begins at the new birth and continues to the last heartbeat. Until your last heartbeat, you never arrive to that point when you don't need further sanctification. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
You never, never arrive at the point where you don't need further sanctification. But you don't understand, Bob. I've experienced this and I've experienced that, and I've been here and I've been there, and I do this and I do that. I mean, I am involved. You still need to be refined. You need to become increasingly more like Christ Jesus every day of the world. And the only way you're going to do that is complete, total submission. There's a lot of things in life you can't react to. There's a lot of things in life you cannot respond to. There's a lot of situations and circumstances you cannot respond to. You'll quench the spirit. You'll grieve the spirit. You need sensitivity. You need his leadership. You need his guidance. And you're thinking, well, you do me one, I'll do you one better. Go ahead. Grieve the spirit. Quench the spirit. See where that gets you. Because you need sensitivity. You need sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God. Just a little breath of the Spirit of God against your spirit, that attitude is wrong. We'll go further with it. In every expression of life, you're going to bump across those situations and those circumstances. But God in his timing, now listen to me, I'm trying to save you some grief here. God in his way, in his timing, is going to deal with the unrecognized, unconfessed sin in your life.
Amen.
And you're going to be surprised. One of the greatest surprises I bumped across, I was in position of authority. I gave orders, I expected people to obey them. It was that simple. And I brought that into the pulpit. When I first came to the pulpit, I brought that in with me into the pulpit. And God, over the months and years, kept this and this and this and taking this out and taking that out. But one of the things that you may have difficulty to come to grips with, in what way do you try to control somebody else?
Hello.
In what way do you try to control someone else? That's not your job.
No.
Your job is not to control anyone else. That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Yeah.
It's the job of the Holy Spirit to control us. The husband don't try to control the wife. The wife doesn't try to control the husband. And yet, this is one of the things that we, if we're not careful, will sneak up on us and blindside us, because without realizing what we're doing, we will try to control that other person. Mm-hmm. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We've all been there. But until you're willing to go before the Lord and say, that's sin. That's a sinful attitude. I can no longer retain that attitude. I've got to recognize it for what it is. I've got to confess it as sin and leave it at the cross. All that's involved in it. But God has dealt with sin in the past. Sometimes you didn't even realize God was dealing with sin in your life. But yet he was working, bringing illumination, bringing... You see, it's so gentle sometimes. The Holy Spirit of God just kind of blow on your spirit just a little bit, you know. That's not right, that attitude, that response, that reaction. But if you ignore that little on the spirit, then he has to kind of up the impact. And if you ignore that, then he has to up the impact more. And sometimes in impacting you, you find yourself in a bad situation, an uncomfortable situation. And yes, sometimes it's sickness. It can be a physical disorder. You see, we go through life blaming every physical... Now, don't get me wrong. Put on listening ears now. But we go through life blaming every... We try to find some kind of reason for everything that's going on in our body. It's because I ate that or did this or did that or went there or went this. Never stop to think, could it be I just grieved the Spirit of God?
Amen.
Could it be I just grieved the Spirit of God? Could it be that God is trying to get my attention? I've told you this before, I'll tell you once again. Years ago, I had a case with a couple of deacons in the church. This is, 45 years ago. Probably 47 years ago. And I had determined I was going to take them to task because in my background, I took people to task. So I'm going to go to church and come here sport. And we're going to have a little teet-a-teet. But as it turns out, I pulled a muscle in my leg and could hardly stand. So I couldn't go to church that night. It was a Wednesday night, so I had to call my associate and say, would you take the message? And I sit at home nursing a pulled muscle that hurt. But in that sitting in that chair with that muscle, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Your attitude was wrong. Your reaction was wrong. Your response was going to be wrong. Get it right. So that night I learned a lesson. Now I've learned several lessons since then, and yet I've got more lessons to learn. Turn to somebody and say, I got more lessons to learn. Sometimes it's a day-by-day thing. And sometimes, I tell you what hurts when you have to learn the same lesson over and over and over and over.
Amen.
Because sometimes he tightens the things up because you didn't get it first time around. Romans 1:19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. All of creation says God is. Have you got into Ephesians chapter 6 lately? Have you read about principalities and powers and thrones and dominions, not just on this earth, but in the universe?
Yes.
Principalities, powers, thrones, dominions in the universe. What's out there? I'll know one day. When my last heartbeat, I'll know, but until then, I probably won't know. But the Word of God teaches it. I've got to accept it. I've got to believe it. All of creation says God is. And man in his conscience, if he's never heard the gospel, knows that God is.
Amen.
If he's never heard the gospel. And then he's accountable to God to live up to what the conscience gives him liberty to do, freedom to do, or where he gets to check in the conscience, because you've got whole populations that have never heard the gospel. But they're indwelt by the conscience. They have a conscience. And that conscience is how God is speaking to them until they get the word. And then come to Christ. You have to understand that. Man, in his conscience, knows that God is. A reasonable, rational man can look at creation. Say, God is. A reasonable, rational man can look at creation. and say that God is. He will know that God is. And he will do so, unless he's satanically messed with. In Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. They're corrupt. They've done abominable work. There's none who does good. Now, Psalm 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Says he looks down on the world to see if there's anybody seeking him, wants to know him, get to know him. Understand this. Death is the entrance into eternity. Death is the doorway into eternity. And once eternity is entered, it's a wrap. It's finished. There's no second chance. Catholic Church is wrong. There is no second chance. Once you enter into eternity, it's a wrap. And once you enter into eternity, your eternal fate is sealed for eternity.
Amen.
Once again, no second chance. It's sealed. It's done. And that fate is either heaven or hell.
Yes.
There's no in between.
No.
It's either heaven or hell. I can't find purgatory in the Bible. I've been through the Bible some time now. I can't find it. You have to read it into it to try to make it happen, but it's not there. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All of creation speaks of his existence. Everything in creation speaks of his existence, of his omniscience, his omnipotence. It's all right there in creation. Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, but were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What he's saying there is, in light of creation, they could not deny the existence of God. It's just declared throughout all of creation. But then, we've never had a shortage of fools in the world, have we? We've never had a shortage of fools. I'm trying to lay this out as squarely as I can, because I'm getting to a couple of verses in a moment that will rattle us if we're not careful. We have to understand what's really going on here. But then there's never been a shortage of fools. In the past, there were no shortage of fools. The Word of God says, the fool that said in his heart, there's no God. So there's been no shortage of fools in the past, no shortage of fools in the present. And with the last heartbeat, there will be no question. With the last heartbeat, is all answered. All the questions are answered. All will be reality. With the last heartbeat, all will be reality. Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, in them, self-deception revealed they were fools. Self-deception. You're living in a world full of people who are practicing self-deception. You're living in a world filled with people practicing self-deception. Romans 1:23. And change the glory of the incorruptible God unto an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. In their ignorance, they denied truth and reality. They sought to create an image which they could worship. And that's where you get all the statues from, and that's where you get all the representations of God. And they wanted some form of something they could worship. They wanted a form of something they could see. They were not content to accept the fact that God is and that he's to be worshipped. So we have all these civilizations and all these cultures creating statues, and I could get nasty here, but I'm not going to do it just now, that they could bow before and they can kneel before. Now I'm going to go ahead and say it. In Tagaytay, in the Philippines, for years, we used a Catholic retreat center for our prayer retreats. We brought in people from all over the nation, preachers. We brought in preachers. And we conducted prayer retreats, life-changing prayer retreats. And where we were, I could sit on the balcony, and across from me there was a big street, and there was an encased statue of the Virgin Mary there. And I watched Catholic nuns come out of the building we were in, walk over to the street, and before they went up the stairwell to the next building, they would stop and kneel before that statue, bless that statue, pray to that statue, then get up and go on their way. And I sat there for years. I was over there three times a year. I'd watch that happen. And you wonder how something like that comes to pass. How do you reach a point in life that you kneel to a statue and pray to a statue? And I realize this will not be well received on the radio, but I leave that between the individual and God. I've just got to represent the kingdom of God. Romans 1:24. Therefore, this is scary, folks. We're wading into deep water. God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. That's to say, God gave them up. God gave them up. That says it all. To say that God gave them up says it all. Where do you go from there? God gave them up to that expression of their wickedness. He let them go on in that expression of wickedness. He said, all right, you don't want to worship me. You don't want to praise me. You don't want to serve me. Good, I'll turn you loose. Worship who you will. Serve who you will. But God removed. He took his hand off of them. That's scary, folks. Now, my question to you is, how much of America, how much of the church, what we call the organization, because please understand the difference between the organization that's known as the church and the organism that is the church. The organization is made up of religious activity, expressions of religious activity. The organism is the body of Christ, indwelt, enabled, empowered by the Spirit of God. That's the difference. How much of a religious organization and religious community do we have in the nation today? So God gave them up to a reprobate mind. However they chose, he said, that's what you want, you can have it. Romans 1:28 or 1:25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. They twisted the word of God. Understand what I'm saying to you. They twisted the word of God, and they worshiped that which they created, rather than the one who created all things. They worshiped the one they created, rather than the one who created all things. Romans 1:26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. One deception led to another deception. One deception led to another. You know what he's talking about there? Lesbianism. He's talking about lesbianism. 1:27. Likewise also the men leave the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and received in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, homosexuality. He's talked about lesbianism. He's talked about homosexuality. He's talking about sodomy. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God, in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And our Supreme Court said it's okay. Our Supreme Court said it's okay. They did not choose to retain God in their knowledge. So, God turned them over to a debased mind. God turned them over to continue the ungodly. Now we're going to look at Romans 1, 29 through 32. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
Hello.
Where do you go from there?
It's pretty clear.
No legislative body, no judicial body can approve of what God disapproves. Can't do it. To try to do so is to spit in the face of God. Our Supreme Court has spit in the face of God. That's ugly. But our Supreme Court has spit in the face of God. And once you spit in the face of God, whether you are an organization or an individual, you suffer the consequences. You suffer the consequences. Why do I bring this to you? Prayer power. You need to go into your prayer closet, if not every day, three or four times a week, taking this nation and what we've become before the throne of God. Just what you were praying earlier. You need to be taking this nation. Listen to me, people of God. We need to be taking this nation before the throne of God and asking God to deliver us from the agents of Satan in the judicial system, on the Supreme Court,
yes,
state Supreme Courts, the legislative bodies, Senate, House. Folks, you have prayer power.
Amen.
You have access to the throne of God. Keep the sin confessed up and confessed out so you can go before His throne full of faith and hope in prayer. We can take this Supreme Court, our Congress, our Senate, our state governors, city mayors, we can take the leadership of every religious organization in the world before the throne of Almighty God.
Amen.
We'll close with this statement. God permits what we permit. God permits what the bride permits. And the bride has permitted too much.